And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, nothing, Shane. Sorry we missed everyone on the last day. We took a day off there, and that's because, like I said, Shane's out there recruiting. He's out on the road.
Yeah.
Just like Jeremy Pruitt. Where you at, Shane?
I'm down here in L.A., brother.
You in Los Angeles?
No, Lower Alabama. I'm across enemy lines for the week, so I apologize about yesterday. Did a lot of traveling. By the time we got situated here, I mean, it was, golly, it was so daggone late. So I apologize, but we've got it figured out. We got some good times coming up, so we won't miss any more.
Well, that's all right, Shane, because we're bringing back one of our new features here. This is only the second time we've done it. Tell the Truth Thursday.
Tennessee, I got a lot of respect for their coach, a guy I've known for a long time in this profession. You know, his son's a quarterback. He's a really good football player. They beat three Power 5 schools in the last 6 or 7 years, and they got really good athletes.
You got to give East Tennessee State credit. They gave a bunch of different looks. They stemmed around. They played hard. I think at the end of the first quarter, we had eight rush attempts for minus 1 yard. Those guys got after us really well.
Chattanooga is a very well-coached team. You know, Russ has done a really good job there. They're 8-2, or they're one of the top teams in, you know, their division. They have 14 starters returning from last year's team. They basically do a really good job on offense with the quarterback run type stuff and the play action.
We had to mix it up, obviously. This was so half-assed and ill-planned the last time, I realized we recorded it on Tuesday and put it out on Wednesday, but we still called it Tell the Truth Tuesday. So we might as well call it Tell the Truth Tuesday and just put it out on Thursday. I mean, that tells you how half-assed this is, but...
Yeah.
So basically,
we're going to tell the truth. We just don't know which day it's going to be.
So basically, the premise behind this, we're sick and tired of these coaches kind of when their stupid coach speak. So this is just, you know, our thoughts on what these guys would be really saying if they really had the opportunity to tell the truth and there were no repercussions. And we'll start with you, Shane. You'll do the SEC East. I'll handle the SEC West. And let's start with old Dan Mullen. What would he be saying this week, Shane?
Well, you know, Mike, the thing about the University of Florida and our new Jordan brand is we're back. We're 4-1. We should be 5-0, if you ask me. Had a little bit of an ugly game. But I tell you what, all things are going to be put aside when we play LSU because we're going to beat them. We're going to beat their ass, Mike. And, you know, I'm excited about Felipe's making some plays. But I'm a little nervous because he's still not as efficient as I need him to be, especially when we get into some of these tougher games. So, but other than that, I've got new Jordans on, and I'm excited about the Florida Gators. All right, Nick Saban, you're 5-0. You're destroying teams. How do you feel about your team going into week 6 here?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you, Shane?
Good.
I give a shit. Well, I said this was a trap game. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. We got Missouri coming up. The truth is, I'm just trying to figure ways to keep this team motivated. And we're winning every game by 50 damn points. Fans are getting on me. I didn't cover the spread. I didn't cover the 50-point spread. No one showed up for the game. I don't expect anyone to show up for this game because we're going to whoop the shit out of Arkansas. I'm just reaching for things to complain about at this point. I would write something negative. Everyone ran with that last week, and it was a joke. I don't know what's going on. I'm the most miserable winner of all time, and I'm just running out of difficult things to be upset about at this point. All right, Shane, What would Kirby Smart say heading into this game against Vanderbilt? You know, he obviously lost to Vanderbilt last time he played him at home. Well, what's old Kirby saying this week?
I am not worried about the Vanderbilt Commodores at all, okay? The fact that they're even talking about it's a joke. I'm the number two team in the nation. I got a lot of flack last week about my quarterback situation. Listen, I'm undefeated. We're winning games by multiple touchdowns. If I want to put Hot Rod back there and throw some passes, by God, we're going to do it. But the thing is, we're the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to remain undefeated. We're looking forward to Kentucky. In fact, I hope they are undefeated. So when we go up there and kick their ass, they'll clearly know who's the best team in the East. But other than that, it's nice to have my boys healthy because I'm really going to need them here in the next few weeks. All right, Coach Morris. It's been a rough year, a rough start in Arkansas. How you feeling about your boys this week?
Well, let me tell you. Oh, hold on, I'm getting a phone call. Okay, I'm not allowed to talk about recruiting, but that was my subtle way of saying I got another recruit because my team sucks, so I got to keep hyping up this recruiting. I'm getting four-star after four-star that no other SEC team wants, but I'm getting them. I'm happy after a loss because we're getting better. Progress is coming. Did I tell you I landed another recruit? Please don't fire me. We only got 3 more days till my son plays another high school football game. He was just named the most outstanding player in the region by the Dallas Morning News. That's true. Check it out. And then I think we got another game against, God knows, I don't know, the number one team in the nation. But I haven't watched the tape yet on my son's film. But as soon as I get done with that, I'll start scouting some special teams for Alabama. Okay, Shane. Mark Stoops, undefeated, 5-0, first time in his career. Heading to, you know, big game at College Station against a very good Texas A&M team. What's Mark Stoops saying this week?
Well, we beat the Gamecocks. We beat the Bulldogs. We beat the Racers. We beat the Gators. We beat the Chippewas. We just keep winning. We're 5-0. We're getting no respect. We're ranked 13th in the country. And going into A&M, we're the underdogs. And I like it. I'm going to come out and I'm going to tell you it doesn't bother me. It does, deep down inside. But I like it because it's fuel for my team. It's fuel for Benny. Benny likes to be fed negativity. And he's going to come out. He's going to probably hang 150 yards rushing on you. And when we win this game, maybe, maybe we'll get the respect we deserve. But I kind of hope we don't. I hope they keep making us the underdog until we make it all the way to the SEC championship. Let's see, who's Coach Mal's on? Let me ask you, Gus. It's been a kind of a weird year, yet you've only lost one game, and it's to a top five opponent in LSU. How do you feel about your Auburn Tigers right now?
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but we can't run for shit. I was real pleased that we had a rain delay last game against Southern Miss. That way no one stuck around to watch the performance we put up against them Eagles. If more people were watching our games, there's no chance in hell we'd be ranked in the top 10. Looking forward to playing in Starkville this weekend, because we're confident if we somehow manage to get 10 points on the board, we should win this one by at least 6 points, because Joe Moorhead's offense is fucking shit. That's all I got, Shane. Barry Odom, 3-1. Missouri's coming off a bye. It was a tough loss there at home against Georgia, but they put up a damn good fight. Now they're traveling to South Carolina. This should be an interesting game. Well, what do you have to say on this Tell the Truth Thursday or Tuesday, whatever the hell we're calling this, Barry Odom?
Well, Mike, we're kind of excited. A lot of people are overlooking us. We're heading to South Carolina, and it looks like they may not be as good as we thought they were. So we're excited about that. Of course, how can you not be excited when you got Drew Diesel sitting on the sideline throwing passes, the golden arm? I like to call him the golden goose, if you will. And I'm going to bring him on up to South Carolina, and I'm going to let Drew make every pass he wants to make. And I tell you what, Mike, I'm feeling pretty confident. A lot of people weren't giving me the respect I deserve, and I'm about to do it in South Carolina. And that's all I got to say about that. Okay, Coach O,
This is always the hardest one.
Better give you a minute to prep up for this one. Coach O, you're undefeated. You're heading to Gainesville to see Coach Mullen. The guy didn't hire you. How you feeling about your team this week?
Oh, let me tell you what. God, I hate them Gators. They nearly cost me my job when I was the interim coach. Losing that game was embarrassing. They tried to dodge us after that hurricane. They mocked Mike the Tiger, my beloved Tiger, when he died. And Dan Mullen ain't offering me no job. Like I said, I like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. The truth is, I can't understand a word that long-haired hippie had to say. I just figured it would inspire us. Maybe they'd stop playing it on the fucking game day.
All right, Shane. I mean, Will Muschamp. South Carolina, disappointing. Lost at Kentucky. That was a tough one. Season spiraling out of control. Half the team's on the damn injury report. What would Will Muschamp have to say on Tell the Truth Thursday?
Well, a lot of people around town talking about I should be on the hot seat. Well, I don't think I should be. I think, you know, who should be on the hot seat is them referees. I don't know if you were watching that game last Saturday, but it seemed like every time we got a little momentum, just so happened we got a penalty called on us. Just so happened they started cramping up. I mean, every time I'd get a 10-yard play, there's a cramp. I get a 20-yard play, there's a flag. Do you think that's convenient? I don't. I just called it like I see it. It was 60 degrees up there. Why is it so crampy? But enough about them. I am a little worried about this week because we are playing the greatest quarterback in the SEC, if you ask me. Am I flat out horrible? I'm worried about my offense not being efficient. I don't know why Debo didn't get the ball, but I'm going to talk to the coordinators about it. And I'm telling you right now, if we go down this week and they threaten my job, somebody on my staff is losing their job. Because I ain't going down with this ship. Period. Luke. I forgot where we're at. We're down in Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Temporary coach Luke, how do you feel about your Ole Miss Rebels going into this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I thought I had a good offense. They're starting to fall apart. I think my boys have found out we ain't going to a bowl game. Defense. Did you know I got a record-setting defense? We're last in the SEC in points allowed. Last in passing yards, last in passing touchdowns, last in rushing yards, last in rushing touchdowns allowed, and last in total yards allowed. What in the hell am I doing? How soon before these people find out they've fired a subpar offensive line coach to lead their program? Well, thank God no one down here in Mississippi can read, because if they could read my stats, my ass would be on the hot seat right next to Joe Moorhead. Thank God that guy can't fucking score a point, because as long as my boys are scoring 20 points a game, no one's going to realize how shitty my team is. That's all I got, Shane. All right, Coach Pruitt, boys are on a bye week. You're all around the world recruiting some of the best players that Tennessee can get at this point. Well, what do you got to say on this Tell the Truth Thursday?
All right, Mike. Well, the thing about the team is they're doing better. I'm proud of these boys. They went down there to University of Georgia. I don't think we should have won the game, but we didn't lose bad. They ain't talking about how bad we are. They're talking about how emotionally involved I am with this team, and I am. Because I can't wait to get these players out of this building and my talent in here. See their selves out the door. We got a few players I'm excited about. But to be honest with you, Mike, this is a rebuild. And until we get those 5-stars, 4-star caliber players that I need, this team ain't going to be able to compete in the SEC like you want. All right? Now, the thing also that I want to point out is everybody talking about the games we lost. But who exactly did we lose to? If you pull that schedule up, I'll tell you right now, we lost to number 22nd ranked Florida. We lost to number 9th ranked West Virginia. All right. And we lost to 2nd ranked Georgia. Okay. So when you talk about how bad Tennessee is, think about the losses, Mike. Do you think I have a top 25 team? No. And we only lost to top 25 teams. All right? So when we get to a game, it matters. That's when we can judge me. That's all I got to say about that, Mike. All right, Coach Moorhead. You guys are struggling. And I'm just curious, how do you feel about your job and your team at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what, Shane. It's been a rough couple of weeks. I came out praising the fans in my opening press conference because I know they got a fire under my ass. From what I hear, firejomo.com, that's the most popular website in Starkville, Mississippi right now. I said the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, that's not a train a coming. That's an escape out of here. It may be my escape out of here. I might have to get out of here before this train rolls over my ass. If my team can't score more than 7 points in an SEC game, Nick Fitzgerald, I've made him go from a Heisman candidate. It looks like he's just a damn sorry-ass running back that don't know how to throw the ball. If I don't know, if I can't get this fixed, Penn State keeps losing. James Franklin might be calling my ass to come back up there and call plays. And you know what? I'll be right up there as fast as I can get out of town. That's a little bit better. I still can't do his voice yet, but.
You're doing good, man. You're doing good.
All right, Shane. Derek Mason. Rough couple of games here. Started out hot. Almost lost to Tennessee State last week. Going on the road to Georgia, in Athens. What would Derek Mason be saying on this Tell the Truth Thursday?
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, what were you expecting? This is Vanderbilt. We gave Notre Dame a game. We gave South Carolina a game there for a minute. And this is Vanderbilt. I mean, my schedule, I've won 3 games 1 year, 4, 6, 5. I'm already up to 3 this year. So the way I figure, if I get a couple more, I could probably keep my job. The thing with Vanderbilt, it's not about what you do in September, October. It's really about what you do in November. And if we can close this thing out with a Tennessee victory, I'm probably going to keep my job. And, I mean, what are they going to do? They can't fill the stands when we're doing good. So why do they care if they just keep paying me? So that's really – that's about it, Mike. Thank you.
Jimbo, Texas A&M coach, been doing okay this year. I think a lot of people are impressed with what you've been producing. But you got another challenge this week, undefeated Kentucky coming in. How you feel about your team?
Well, first, Shane, let me tell you this. Why is this such a big deal that I'm grabbing a guy's face mask? Who in the hell cares about that? I just tapped a guy on the head. I'm getting $75 million guaranteed. You think they care I'm tapping someone on the head? No, that's the answer. Let's look at it like this. I got Arkansas coming in here. We just played against the worst SEC team in the SEC, and we almost lost that damn game. We got an undefeated Kentucky coming in here. We got to get our heads out of our ass. Kellen Mond's got us to play better than that. A defense, they were outstanding. They gave up 2 touchdowns. My God, I gave them hell for those 2 touchdowns, but the rest of the game, they were awesome. What were we doing on offense? We just went in a hole after a fast start. We just can't have that. This is Texas A&M. We're trying to build a championship standard. We're trying to beat next Alabama, beat Clemson. Did I mention we played the top 2 teams in the country? We lost to them just barely, but that's what we're doing. We're building this thing up, and it's going to start today. We're going to beat this Kentucky team, and then we're going to march on to the next one. All right, Shane, now that we're back from the Tell the Truth, whatever the hell day this comes out, now we're going to go around the league with the latest news.
Around the league.
Now let's go around the league.
Around the league. We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice, so you just get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right?
This game's gonna be a street fight. This game's gonna be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail, let's get to work.
One thing that really caught my attention, Shane, that I had to bring up with you, I don't understand this at all. ESPN released 9 teams that still have a chance to win the national championship, Now, you look at these teams. It's not that I take issue with these selections. You know, it's the obvious candidates, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, on and on. But you go all the way down to number nine. The only two SEC teams that are listed, I mentioned them already, Georgia and Alabama. Why in the hell LSU and Kentucky, why are they not listed? Do you take issue with that?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I can understand the Kentucky thing. Kentucky hasn't – I mean, they beat Florida. They beat Mississippi State, yes. And I think that this week, you know, may change how you view that team. If they go down there and they just demolish Texas A&M, then definitely I can see them in the picture. So I'm not trying to discredit anything that they've done. It's just they've got a road ahead of them that involves Georgia, that involves Texas A&M. That, you know, I just think that they got a tougher road. Now, LSU on the flip side of the coin, man, they beat Washington. Washington was projected to be a national champ contender. Mm-hmm. They beat They beat Miami. They beat LSU on the flip side of the coin, they came out, destroyed Miami. You know, everybody was feeling high on the hog on Miami, but we realized real quick that they're not a good team. And then they come out and they beat Auburn University. And Auburn has beat Washington. So, I mean, when you look at that, they've played some very tough matchups already and have came out ahead. And I think that one surprises me a little bit more than the fact Kentucky's not on the list.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But I still think if Kentucky were to, you know, exceed expectations and keep winning, they got Georgia on the schedule. They'll likely face Alabama in the SEC championship. They beat those teams. I think they can beat anyone, and I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but I think you still got to give them a shot to do it. So saying 0% chance, I'm not buying. And then more to your point there on LSU, of course, they get to host Alabama, get to host Georgia, so they get to see two of these teams, and they get to potentially knock them off. So it's just very bizarre to me to see. What this says to me is basically they've taken their preconceived notions in the preseason, and they're not willing to amend them. And yeah, based on anything we've seen,
that's exactly right. Everybody's got this attitude that Kentucky's not a good team, and I'm one of them. I mean, hell, I was against them for several of these games that they won, and I'm a believer, and I think that's why this A&M game's so important, because I just think that it's going to be on a larger stage for some reason. I'm not saying that the Mississippi State game wasn't, but I don't know. It just feels like a cementing type of game, if you know what I mean.
Oh no, I feel you, because watching back some of these Kentucky games, you know, I don't think you think of the Lexington crowd as being too big of a home field advantage, but these last 2 weeks in particular, these fans have showed up and they've made a difference, and this Kentucky team has fed off that energy. So it remains to be seen if they can carry that momentum into College Station with everyone against them. So I think that's something that we really got to keep our eye on.
Yeah, and the flip side of the coin on that, everybody saw that first game against Clemson, and they're thinking that Texas A&M is better than they really are.
You know, to go on to that point, I would agree that, you know, maybe Clemson's a little too hyped up. They almost lost to Syracuse. They've looked shaky at other times this year. So it's possible that Clemson is not quite the team that we thought they were. So Texas A&M, you know, they deserve credit because that is an incredibly talented team, but and likely still to win the ACC. But there's a chance that Clemson is not a legitimate playoff threat outside of just having a good record this year.
Yeah, speaking of Clemson, did you see Knox trying to do some recruiting?
Yeah, so Arkansas, their latest commit, 4-star Trey Knox. That's the one I was kind of mocking there with Chad Morris taking the phone call from. He took to Twitter. He's asking Kelly Bryant if he wants to come throw him passes in Fayetteville, and that's the one that I keep hammering on. I think that makes the most sense. Kelly Bryant, eager to play. And it, you know, it's funny because I'm seeing Arkansas fans say, well, hell, we got a quarterback committed, KJ Jefferson, I believe is his name. But I mean, and from what I understand, he is a good player, but I have talked to people that actually cover him down in Mississippi, and if that's your starter next year, Arkansas, I'll just tell you, you're going to miss a bowl for the third straight year, and that's nothing against him, but just coming in as a true freshman, he plays in a lower league in Mississippi to step up in the SEC, I mean, give me a break. What I would want is a senior quarterback who's taken a team to a college football playoff, take this guy under his wing, show him how it's done, and you could even play both of them next year, but you don't want a true freshman leading you. I think that's just idiotic.
I agree, man, 100%.
We were talking about LSU, so let's jump into this LSU-Florida matchup just a little bit here. It started with Les Miles. He's doing some jawing on Twitter. He tags Steve Spurrier. He says, "Hey, Steve Spurrier, how much you want to bet your Gators are going down this weekend?" And then it didn't take long for Sol Spurrier to respond. He says, "Shoot, we're going to win on Saturday. If we don't, I'll eat some of that grass of yours. When we do, you'll be wearing my visor. Go Gators!" This is pretty awesome, don't you think?
Yeah, I like it. Old ball coach back in there. I wish that, golly, I wish we could have done Tell the Truth when he was in the league, because that would have been fun.
I think he just told the truth. I don't think that it was necessary.
Yeah, no, that's what I love about Steve. He did not hide his feelings. If he felt bad about something, he told you. If he felt good about something, he told you. And of course, you know, there was a lot of times, there was a lot of pressures I didn't want to listen to when he was down in Florida, because it's usually after they beat us. But I do miss the ball coach.
Yeah, and I hope these guys are at the game and just kind of you know, I'm sure it's just a friendly rivalry they have now that they're not actually competing in it. But it'll add a little bit something there if they're both at the game and they're both giving reactions. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one thing about Florida, it's going to be electric down there. They're celebrating Tim Tebow in the Ring of Honor. I think they got a few other players. So it should be a pretty exciting event Saturday.
Yeah, and it's also going to be a huge recruiting weekend. They're hosting all their big recruits because this is basically their marquee home game of the season. A lot on the line for the Gators. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. Dan Mullen also noted it was on Wednesday. He was saying that, you know, Tim Tebow's a pretty busy guy. He may not be able to get him to speak to the team prior just because he will be at the game with SEC Nation and what have you, but those guys have a pretty busy schedule, but he's going to try to get them to speak to the team if he can. What do you think? I don't think that those type of things ever swing a game by any means, but it certainly can help to have old Tim Tebow fire up your team, you know, before an LSU game and before he's put into the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it can't hurt. I mean, he's a proven champion. He's won national championships, and you know, he may have been idolized by a lot of these players in this locker room just because of their age and maybe somebody they look forward to, especially if they did sign with the University of Florida. Maybe that's part of the reason. So there could be some contributing factors there as far as motivating. And like you said, you know, Tebow has a way. I mean, you've seen the videos. He has a way with the locker room, so it can't hurt.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Tuscaloosa where
– Roll Tide!
Basically the biggest news in the last 2 days here. Tua finally speaks to the media. You know, he was given, you know, 15 minutes or so with the media down there. And, you know, he seems like a very polished young guy, and I think that kind of speaks to his game, just his maturity and just the way he reads defenses. You can tell there's a lot going on with him, you know, in between his ears there. And he showcased that, I thought, the same with the media. And – you know, between this two 15-minute segments, two things really stuck out to me. We're going to play these comments, but one, how the relationship between he and Jalen Hurts after finding out that he was going to be the starter, and number two, how he is saying basically don't buy into the fact that Nick Saban is pleased with his play, because he says Saban's never pleased with anyone's play, basically.
Before our flex lines, it was after the Louisville game, a Monday practice, getting ready for Arkansas State. Jalen told me to go in front of him, you know, because now I'm the starting quarterback and, you know, I'm going to be the leader and whatnot. But I told him no, and I told him, you know, that this is still Like, he still belongs in that role, just because of everything that he's done. And I think that was a very mature move of him, trying to do that. You know, I would have never thought of doing that. But just the maturity that he has, trying to do that, I thought that was something very special. I mean, we're just trying to be 1-0 every week. We're just trying to win games, you know, and I think that's the focus. You know, Coach Saban said I exceeded his expectations. I don't think I did. He has to be joking with you guys. because that's definitely not what Coach Saban would tell us. You know, there's always room for improvement. Not only with Coach Saban, but within our whole coaching staff, and within ourselves too. So there's always room for improvement.
All right, Shane, what was your main takeaway when you heard these comments from Tua here?
I mean, he sounds like a sharp fella. I mean, I haven't really listened to him much. I don't think he's even talked to the media this year. Mm-hmm. In fact, they may have waited till Jalen burnt his red shirt so they could let him out, you know, because, you know, the first 100 questions were going to be about Jalen. So just another well-timed coaching maneuver here, if you ask my opinion.
Yeah, and it's pretty – I think Alabama is very fortunate not only to have, you know, very talented players, but a lot of these key leaders like Jalen and Tua, they seem to be very mature and very good leaders because, we've seen it at Clemson. We've seen it – you know, it's not been handled poorly at Georgia. Maybe they have similar guys like Alabama here, but these situations can turn bad very quickly, and it's not happened here. And if anything, they just keep getting better and better. There's almost no distraction, so I don't know. Bama's just got a unique culture right now down there, and obviously we know how good they are, but I think what people don't see enough of is just these players and seeing them for the people that they are, because I think it's due to them that they're so successful on a continual basis, because if these guys tune out or overlook an opponent, they'll go down, and I mean, I can't even remember the last time they've played down to the level of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing he talked about was just the unity on the team and the friendships, offensive line and the wide receivers. He just said, we're out there, we're just having fun, man. And, of course, if you're hanging 50 points every week, how can you not be? And I'm just kind of curious just how that Jalen talk went down. I mean, you know, Saban got him in there, and he recruited him again. And I'm just curious, you know, I don't know. A lot of people are praising everything I'm hearing. They're talking about how great they are, how much respect they have for Jalen and stuff like that. And I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on that. I kind of feel like he probably should have went somewhere. I don't know. What do you think on that? Do you think he should have stuck around? I mean, what was there to gain, really?
Well, I think he's just so invested in that locker room. He's invested in those players. He wants to win another title, and I think he understands that Tua can go down at any point. And if he goes down, he's gonna be needed to come into action. And had he left following fall camp, you know, the only thing he would have to gain essentially was he would have another year of eligibility, but it just doesn't seem like that type of guy. You know, he just seems like he's not always willing to put himself first, and I think that serves him well. And I think Alabama's got one of the best quarterback coaches in the nation right now in Dan Enos, so he's going to learn from that guy, and then I fully expect him to graduate and then become a graduate transfer. But you know, I think he's smart enough to realize very few of these guys that are leaving in the middle of the season, I think that docks you too. I mean, you don't see most of these guys, you know. We're saying Kelly Bryant, you know, maybe Arkansas will get him. I mean, Arkansas is not going to do anything next year. So you're not seeing all these schools jump at the chance to get these guys that are leaving in the middle of the year, because I think they know, as talented as they may be, they have issues in some sense. I mean, they almost have to, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas you look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, I don't think there's any issue. And I think if he's a graduate transfer, wherever he goes up, I would almost guarantee that by the time the season rolls around, he's the team captain, he's a team leader, because I think he's just got that in him.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, man. I didn't think about the quarterback coach. I mean, hell, all the experience he could get down there, might as well stay, now that you mention it.
All right, Shane, so let's jump to Columbia, where Will Muschamp, he met with the media this week, and I'm going to play a couple comments from him, but really I just want to focus his presser on all the damn injuries that the Gamecocks are going through. They're beaten all to hell after playing Kentucky. I just want to get your thoughts on I mean, this is just looks like he's reading a hospital list or something, but here's Will Muschamp on his team's health heading into the Missouri game.
Injury report for us, Eldridge Thompson with the shoulders, probably questionable, practice today, but I don't know that he could be in a full contact situation. I'll know more probably tomorrow and Thursday, obviously, moving forward. Jamias Williams has his shoulders, probable. He did practice today. But I want to see, you know, how he handles some contact. He was in a non-contact situation. Jake Bentley with the knee is probable. He practiced today. He had to get treatment today and had class after that. So I apologize he wasn't able to meet with you guys. Jacob August is going through the concussion protocol right now. I don't really have an update on that at this time. Brian Edwards practiced today is probable with an ankle. But moved around. We'll see how much more he can do tomorrow. JT Ebay is out. Nothing serious, but I don't think we'll get him back till probably after the open week with a sprained knee. Ortre Smith's having surgery on Friday, so he'll be out for the season. Josh Belt continues to have an ankle. And DJ Warnham, I still think we'll get back after the open week. And that's kind of where we are. We need to, as a team, do the simple things better. Bottom line, whether it's catching the football, whether it's holding on to the ball, gap control defensively, you know, that's really the emphasis to me with our football team. Let's do simple better, and that's where we are, and I'll open up for any questions.
All right, Shane, so this game, this is a critical game. It's at home. They're hosting Missouri. I think this is basically a crossroad game for, I think, for both of these teams, so they're both going to want this one. What does it say to you that the Gamecocks are so banged up heading into this one?
Yeah, I mean, they're struggling, man. They are struggling. They're struggling with their offense and defense, and I don't know if the injuries is a big part of it, but it just seems like they haven't found their – South Carolina hasn't found their offensive identity yet, and it's just sluggish. It's just – I don't know. They've got a lot of things going on, and the injuries is one of the biggest parts of it, but mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of chemistry missing here too.
Yeah, and that's real troubling to me because obviously, you know, we talked about this at length all offseason, but, you know, they have the new offensive coordinator, but – for the vast majority of, you know, this is the same offensive line, quarterback, receivers, mm-hmm. running backs. The head coach is the same. The strength conditioning is the same. Like, there shouldn't be this much, like you said, identity issues. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. there's always transitions to a new coordinator, but it just seems like it's almost like, you know, the same thing that we're seeing at Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt or Arkansas, you know, under Chad Morris. I mean,
yeah.
Those are completely new situations. So it should not be this challenging, in my opinion, for South Carolina. And this is just the thing that has just haunted Will Muschamp his entire coaching career, is just getting this offensive situation. You know, Jake Bentley fans are calling out Jake Bentley. They're pissed off at him at this moment.
Yeah.
It's a bad scene there. And, you know, if Missouri is likely going to be able to score some points, I'm thinking at least 28 to 30 points with their offensive players they got there. So if South Carolina cannot keep up, there's a chance they get run out of the building here.
No, that's the truth, man. And what the scariest part for me is the fact that Missouri had a bye week. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Means, let me ask you, who do you think this game means more to, making it Missouri relevant or South Carolina just because they haven't had a victory in a while?
I think Missouri, because they need to get confidence, because following this is at Alabama, and they've kind of put a lot of chips into this season with Drew Locke coming back and
mm-hmm.
a lot of Terry Beckner, the great defensive tackle, came back. You know, both those guys kind of went to the NFL. So this is kind of just like an all-in type year. And I think if South Carolina, it's clearly trending in the wrong direction, not saying overall, but just this year.
Yeah.
I think if they lose this one, you know, Will Muschamp is not in any danger here. But I do think this season kind of all the aspirations go out the window. Whereas Missouri, obviously, they did lose to Georgia, but they're still in it for a lot of things. So, you know, Drew Locke he's got money to be made if the better he plays. So,
yeah,
there's a lot on the line here for Missouri, for Barry Odom. I think there's still some questions, maybe not so much at Missouri about Barry Odom's status, but I think around the league people are still kind of wondering, is this just because of Drew Locke? And you know, maybe anyone can win with a quarterback like this, but I think Missouri's season could also go sideways if they drop this game coming off a bye and then obviously heading into Alabama next week.
For sure. And I tell you, man, maybe Bentley's not as good as we thought he was. A lot of people, you know, when he came out his freshman year, there was a lot of people talking. I'll never forget them just This is the next guy. The next guy. He struggled last year. This year, he's got 7 touchdowns and 6 picks, and he's one of the. I mean, he's averaging 7 yards a pass attempt. So, I don't know. Bentley, the way this offense is, this RPO is ran, it requires your quarterback to do so much because there's a lot of stuff you have to do before that ball is snapped. You know, we talked about the other day just how, like Fromm, a lot of people don't realize how great a quarterback he is. It's because a lot of that pre-snap things that he can do, which makes him one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Bentley's struggling with that, and they're not running when they should be running. They're passing when they shouldn't be, and I don't know. Like I said, it just seems like the offense is just not on the same page.
Yeah, big time. Now, skipping to the other Columbia, quickly here on Missouri, Drew Locke met with the media on Wednesday, and I just thought this was a funny little scene here where, if you may recall, the last time Missouri played at South Carolina, Drew Locke scored a touchdown. He was kind of jawing with the student section, and they threw one of those green water bottles, you know, the Gatorade water bottle at him.
Yeah.
They threw it at him on the field. He picked it up and drank from it. And then, so he was asked about it. So we'll play this clip and then we can discuss it.
But no, I probably won't drink it this week. But I'm all for it. I'm all for all the water bottles being thrown this week. I'll just start a little like collection next to the bench, and by the end of the game, we'll see how many water bottles we have.
All right, Shane. So Drew Locke's not willing to drink the Gatorade this or whatever the hell was in there last time, but he welcomes people to throw things at him if they so choose. Thoughts on Drew Locke encouraging fans to harass him, basically?
That's a horrible idea. there's a lot of inaccurate people up in the stands, and I don't want them throwing bottles and hitting some old referee on the sideline, you know. I mean, that's a horrible idea. That's just kind of the person he is. He kind of, you know, he's got that attitude, but yeah, no, this is definitely not his best idea. Because they will.
I can just see it now where the students are going to come with some kind of orchestrated bottle attempt where, you know, he scores a touchdown and there's like 150 bottles thrown at him.
Oh yeah. She's like the Frisbees, or not the, you remember the Tennessee game? They had the fans earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, they're out there. They're throwing them like Frisbees. They had them all over the field.
You know, the one thing I will note about this, though, this is kind of part of, in my opinion, what makes college football so awesome. Drew Locke could have went pro. He'd be on an NFL roster right now. He came back for his senior year. And we saw, what was that game against Purdue where he had the, you know, Missouri sucks sign or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He's yucking it up here in the media with South Carolina fans, and he'll probably do it at the game. And you know, I think that these are the moments that he would be missing if he was in the NFL. Yes, he'd be getting paid, and he will still get paid a year from now. But these are the moments I don't think he'll ever be able to recapture in his life. And I think it should give quarterbacks in particular that realize how much – fun they can have, and they're coming back for their senior season and improving their game and hopefully making them better NFL prospects.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Okay, Shane, final game I wanted to touch on here. This is, you know, this is probably not going to be that much of a competitive one, but both teams talked about each other this week, so I wanted to discuss it. Let's start off by going to Athens, where Kirby Smart met with the media. And he was touching on Vanderbilt and just the fact that, you know, the last time they hosted Vanderbilt under Smart, the first time they did that, they lost that game 17-16. So here's Kirby Smart on just kind of what he takes from that game and if he'll be able to use that this week with his team there.
I don't think it has any effect on this game being 2 years ago. They've got some of the same players. We've got some of the same players. Biggest thing looking back was special teams killed us. We had a lot of special teams errors. We stepped out on like the 1 or 2 yard line, had a kickoff return to open the game to the, I don't know, inside the 5. I mean, we just did not play well, especially on special teams, and outgained them, but didn't score points, didn't give up many yards on defense, and gave up points. And it was a great indicator of why special teams matter, because when you give up over, I think, 250 maybe yards special teams, you got a chance of losing the game. Every 100 yards is usually 7 points, and we didn't play real well.
All right, Shane, so this is always going to be a black mark on old Kirby Smart until I think he wins a national championship or something. He's going to be the guy that lost to Vanderbilt. Thoughts on this here?
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I think if I'm Coach Mason, I kind of want them to forget about that game. Because here's Georgia coming. I mean, say what you want. They've beat everybody that they've played and beat them by multiple touchdowns. But they haven't had that game where they just took them to the woodshed. And I think this may be the week. So what was the point spread on this thing?
It's currently at 26.5.
Has Georgia covered a point spread this year? Do you know?
They've covered MTSU. They covered South Carolina significantly because that was, I think, a 10-point game. And they won 41-17.
I forgot about the MTSU, but yeah, I think this is an SEC statement game, and I don't be surprised if like I said, they hang 50, 60 points on this team. They're going to make a mockery of Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I could see that. Now on the flip side, Vanderbilt, Derek Mason, he got in trouble last time. He brought up a street fight, he called it, against South Carolina, and his looked like his team got taken behind the alley and showed what a street fight was. And now he's got 60 minutes. He didn't say of hell, but I think he hesitated to say that. Here's old Derek Mason on facing Georgia and what it's going to take for them to compete against the Bulldogs.
Georgia Bulldogs are well-oiled machine. I mean, Kirby has done a terrific job of assembling talent. And those guys play extremely fast in all three phases. And watching these guys, man, they lost good players a year ago, and they've continued to lock and load. Truly believe, when you watch this group, man, this group is talented all the way around. Starts with Fromm, extremely talented quarterback. Can spin it, and he's got weapons in the backfield. As we've taken a look at it, and you get a chance to see those running backs. Holyfield is exceptional. And you get a chance to look at, what he can do. He can take it. DeAndre Swift can take it. These guys are pretty talented. And it's gonna be a test for us. And this football team is coming off, what I would call a poor performance. Great win. And poor performance, and now what we have to do is turn it around fast, get ourselves ready to play against the number 2 team in the country. So that's a challenge. We've been a little nicked up playing some young guys, and for me, that's never an excuse. At the end of the day, you step on the field, you better be ready to play. So here we go. We're going to go down between the hedges and play some ball.
All right, Shane, so it's going to take 60 minutes to beat this team. Any chance the Commodores do it?
No, man, there's no way. Yeah, you're going to need more than 60 minutes, man. You're going to need 90 minutes and them in the locker room for 30 of them, because this thing is going to, like I said, I don't know, it just feels like one of those games. Kirby's been irritated. If you listen to him in these conferences, it's just, he is mad at something. I don't know what it is. The team's not clicking like they were last year. Granted, they lost a lot of seniors, and there's a lot of, they're still trying to find themselves, but I don't know. I think that he just wants to get it right, and he just wants to shut people up and show them why they're the number 2 team, why they should be the number 1 team in the nation.
Yeah, and Mason talking about just playing you got to play every moment of this game to compete. I think that's the truth, and I also think that if Georgia shows up and does play with its A game, like you're kind of noting there, they won't be challenged in this game whether Vanderbilt plays every snap or not. So, and then just based on what I've seen of Georgia, even in this Tennessee game where I was very confident, I made it my lock of the week that Tennessee would cover, there were still about, I would say, 3 or 4 plays that Georgia just barely missed. And we're talking like deep shots or, a running back dropping a ball on a screen. Had they converted those, it could have easily been probably a 40 or 50 point game against Tennessee, because it would have just been the floodworks. So
yeah,
they're not that far off, but they are, like you said, they're clearly off. There's something wrong. It's like kind of like 2 games in a row where they've kind of, They've been tested by SEC teams that should not test them. So they need to really put Vanderbilt away and just kind of show that they are a legitimate threat to Alabama, because the way they're playing right now, I don't think they are at all.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Shane, one final note I wanted to hit on before we jump off here. Getting a lot of comments here on the play of teams at noon, and why specifically I'm getting that, I think, is because Tennessee at Auburn next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, that's been announced as a noon Eastern time kickoff, 11 a.m. Auburn time. And I just wanted to round up because I just wanted to see if that really is an advantage, or like if people are really getting upset at this, or that's just something that I think people just automatically jump to that conclusion. But
yeah,
based on what I've seen this year, weeks 1 through 5, every noon game, you know, the favored team has won every single game, and that includes Ole Miss winning week 1 against Texas Tech, Mississippi State mm-hmm. week 2 at Kansas State, Vanderbilt won week 2 against Nevada, Tennessee won week 3 against UTEP, Georgia on the road at Missouri, Ole Miss the following that same week at Kent State, and last weekend Alabama against who was they playing, Lafayette, and Texas A&M against Arkansas. So all those favorite teams won. And now the interesting part, the last 3 weeks, the favorites all won, but they did not cover. So there may be something to this to say that these games are kind of much closer than the spread would indicate, but
yeah,
the favorites are still winning them big. So do you have any takeaway just from hearing all that?
So you're saying there's a chance.
No, I think when you think of a noon game, you think of slow starts for some reason. And it's just kind of sluggish. Yeah, they typically run away with it there at the end. But it just feels like there's a lot more teams still in the game around halftime. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's taking them a little bit longer. Because if you take a team there's an hour difference and you're playing at 12, it's still like 11 o'clock. And if you're used to playing at 3 or 7, I mean, it's got to affect you a little bit. But, I don't know, man. I think that's – I'm bad about that. I think of NFL when these teams from the West come to the East and you're like, oh, there's a time difference. It's, you know. But – truth of the matter is, you just told me that there is no – every team that is favored wins. They may not cover the spread, but they're winning.
Yeah. All right, Shane, so that's all I've got on this episode. You got anything before we jump off here?
Well, I don't want Georgia fans being mad, Mike. I mean, I'm looking at these scores, and they had some good victories. The South Carolina was a – was a 20-point game, a mm-hmm. 24-point game. Mm-hmm. Missouri ended up being a larger victory. But you know, let's tell the truth one day this week, and you've got to tell yourself that you can't be as impressed with Georgia as you were this time last year. Am I wrong in saying that? I mean, just the games that I watched, just because I had money on the MTS or the Missouri game, mm-hmm. that was ugly. The offense wasn't doing anything. The South Carolina game started out great, but then they kind of idled there for a minute and let South Carolina get back into it before they pulled away. You can't count MTSU and Austin Peay. I'm just talking about even with Tennessee. In the fourth quarter, we got within 2 scores. Now, was it a ball game? No. I don't think there was ever a shot in hell Georgia was going to lose this game. But the fact that it got within 2 scores, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Georgia's bad, but on the flip side of the coin, you want to be compared to Bama. Bama is going out there and just hanging points on these teams, and it's not even close. So to say you're the best team in the nation, I think Georgia's still working for that. Now, will they find it? We're going to find out. I think this is a crucial week here, not because Vanderbilt's going to give them a challenge, but just how they put these teams away and get some rest, because Alabama's resting their guys. It gets to the fourth quarter, those starters ain't in there anymore. So that catches up later in the season. So that's all I got about that Georgia ramble.
Well, the thing for Georgia for me right now is just they're kind of their offensive line is in flux. They got guys coming in and out, and some are banged up, and they just I didn't think they played particularly that well against Tennessee in pass protection, particularly. Darrell Taylor, he had a great game. I think he had two strip sacks and what I think he had three sacks total.
Yeah.
And then you want to look at, back at that Missouri game. Georgia's offensive line did not run block particularly well. They were getting, you know, I think there was several third and shorts and at least one fourth down and short that they ran the ball and they did not get. So
yeah,
that is a concern. But I think also, you know,
and the injuries. I mean, they've had some injuries, so you got to consider that.
They have talent. They have, I think, the best offensive line coach in the nation, so they probably get that thing going. But they, like you said, they've only got a week or so to do it because in 2 weeks they travel to LSU, and LSU's defense is incredible. Their offensive line is getting healthy at the right time, and Georgia's defensive line, you know, they've got some nice players, but they've not been a strength either to this point, in my opinion. So that's going to be the true test where we're going to find out real quick, you know, how elite Georgia is. If they go in there and steamroll like they did against South Carolina, I think we'll put them right back in that mix. But if they squeak a close by or potentially drop that one, I think we have to reevaluate where Georgia is nationally.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Shane, so thanks for joining me on the road down there in L.A., the other L.A., I guess you want to call it. But
that's right.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it, and I'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Where the road is dark and the seed is sown, where the gun is cocked as the bullets comb, where the miles are marked in the blood and the gold. I'll meet you farther on up the road. Got on my dead man's suit and my smiling skull ring, my lucky graveyard boots and a song to sing. I got a song to sing. It keeps me out of the cold. And I'll meet you further on up the road. Further on up the road. Further on up the road. Where the way is dark and the night is cold. One sunny morning we'll rise, I know, and I'll meet you farther on up the road.
Oh, that's all I got, man. How have we not scrapped this segment yet? all right. Coach. Luke. I forgot where we're at. We're down in Ole Miss.